Welcome, everybody. This is Mike TV, episode 50, the Big 5-0. We are here to talk to you about all things TV. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Lisa. Joining me is my co-host, Dean. Hello, Dean.
Woo, Lisa, just trying to survive life.
Yeah.
I'm not going out for any reason. I don't want to catch COVID. I don't want to get a Molotov cocktail thrown at me. I don't want to get hit by a police baton. There's no reason to do anything but sit around and watch TV.
Yes. And I'd like to add one thing to add to that, and that's listen to podcasts. I think podcasts listenership is down as a whole because people aren't driving, right? You're not having the commutes to work. So people are cutting podcasts. So if you're listening to this podcast, we do thank you. We hope you will write to us and give us a shout of what you'd like us to cover on future episodes of Mike TV. If you've listened to us in the past, this is going to be a little bit different. We're changing our format, maybe permanently. Who knows? We're going to see how it goes. But right, we're not doing an episode by episode coverage or any kind of deep dive. We've got some general topics that we're going to stick to every week, some new ones that'll pop in and out. Hopefully we're going to have some guests on in the future, just talking all things TV. We have some fun deep dive discussions. We have some homework assignments we're going to give out. We have a fun show from the past that we're going to talk about every week because we feel like there's a lot to talk about there as I'm watching it for the first time. So with new shows that are not coming out as readily as they were before, it's given us the opportunity, right, Dean, to watch some shows from the past or maybe get caught up on shows that we've always wanted to watch but never had the time. So I'm taking advantage of this time. We hope that anybody who's listening to us right now is also doing the same. So let's give our contact information at the top of the show, Dean, so maybe people will give us some feedback here. So send us an email, miketvpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, or you can find us on Twitter at miketv1 or at rockdale_tiger. miketv1 would be Lisa's, rockdale_tiger would be my Twitter handle. Let us know what you are watching. Let us know what you want us to talk about, or if you just have thoughts and you want us to say them on, or you want to hear yourself be talked about on a podcast, we will. I mean, you can literally say whatever as long as you say you want it to be on, and we'll put it on. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll talk about it.
Maybe you would like to contribute to one of these segments in the future by giving us a homework assignment suggestion or something like that. So you'll see how it goes as we lay out the format here in our first new episode of Mike TV. But Dean, this is episode 50. I think that's like celebrate, you know.
Right. Release the black balloons. Yes. Over the hill.
Cool in the gang, the whole everything. It's time. Yeah. No, I don't have any musical cues, but imagine they're playing right now. We're 50. We've reached number 50. This is so exciting.
I know. And we've gone through I mean, it's been over a year since you started Mike TV, so you have a year under your belt. We've covered all sorts of shows. You've had a couple of co-hosts. thankfully, I've just stuck around. But
really only one really super great co-host. Right.
Oh, Autumn was good.
She was good. That's what I was talking about. No, I'm just
kidding. Oh, man.
No, of course. No. Dean, we are the best. We're the dynamic duo when it comes to TV. And I'll share with everybody, we've actually started this whole Google spreadsheet. We've got it all laid out. We have so much TV to talk about. I think we should possibly just dive right in. What do you say?
That's right. If we want to we want to keep it thorough, but at the same time, we're trying to keep it at about an hour, so we probably should get started.
Yeah, we want to keep Radio Labyrinth hosts from mocking us.
It's hard to do, but we try.
Very hard. All right. First segment, TV news. We've had some recent renewals come out. That's good news. Who knows when we're going to see these seasons, but FX and FXX, likewise, they've released some exciting renewals, including Better Things. I know it's a show you don't watch, but maybe I'll be able to reel you into it. Cake, another show that maybe you've dipped into, but if not.
Watched. Yeah, I started it.
What'd you think?
It's good. It's no, I think you should leave, but it's.
No, it's not. No, not even close.
It's like a mixture of that and Robot Chicken from Adult Swim. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I guess, are you seeing the Shark Wars or Shark?
Yeah, it loves, you've said that runs through the season,
yes.
Right?
So yeah, that's crazy. It gets real, that gets insane. So prepare yourself. Also, very exciting renewal, Mr. In Between. I had no idea that show was going to come back. Did you watch that show?
I had no idea that was a show.
All right, we'll get there. We'll get there on that one. I know that there are listeners of Radio Labyrinth that have watched Mr. In Between. I know Steph and Jeff and Tim actually all loved it. Very exciting to report it's coming back. It's
yeah, you
always
might have to give me that one for homework one day.
Okay, all right. We could. That's one that it's hard just to give one show. And they're short episodes. The nice thing about Mr. In Between, it's an Australian show. I'll just pitch it real quick. It's the lead character. Forgive me for not remembering his name. There's been two seasons. The episodes are 30 minutes. It's a dark comedy. It's right up your alley. The lead character is an assassin for hire, but he also is a family man taking care of his daughter. He's a single dad, really good dad. He takes care of his brother who is disabled or not disabled, has has gone through maybe strokes or something. He's forgive me. No, I think he's got like cerebral palsy. I don't know. Oh God, I'm really feel bad about this. It's been a while since I've watched it. So he's one on this one side of him. He's this really caring, wonderful person. And then on this other side, he's just brutal murderer, like crazy. But he really is. He really does go after like the bad guys, you know, he really, you know, so he's not just a killer for hire, but he does take jobs of people who kind of deserve it.
Right.
But it's just really good. It's really well written. Ray, the main character's name is Ray, and he is just so charming and wonderful. Anyway, I think season one was only 6 episodes and season 2 was only like 8 episodes.
Okay. So it'll be a quick binge.
It will. So watch it. Mr. In Between. Also, it's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That's a show that I've really, really grown to appreciate.
Season 14 now?
Something like that. 14 or 15 getting renewed. Yeah, it's exciting. I'm glad. I thought the last couple of seasons have been really, really strong for this show. So, finally, a show that I thought had already been renewed. So, phew, good thing. What We Do in the Shadows has been renewed for season 3.
Have you finished season 2 yet?
I have not. I think
Well, I guess it's season 2 still going, right?
It is. I believe it's got either 1 or 2 more episodes of the season from the time we record this, and then I have 2 on my DVR. So I'm through
I'm a couple through
episode 6.
Yeah, it's been good so far.
It has been funny as ever. I've heard talk of it getting Emmy nominations. I definitely think the actors on the show deserve some accolades and some recognition. I want to say standout performances for the woman who plays Nadja. Yeah. She's been exceptional this year. And honestly, they all have been great. Laszlo's been great. And of course, our favorite, the energy vampire, Colin.
Colin Robinson.
Colin Robinson. So you've seen the episode where he gets really strong?
Yes.
Oh, so great. And then have you seen the where they go to the Super Bowl party?
Yeah, I love the Super Bowl, the Superb Owl party. Yeah.
All right, everybody, please, if you're watching What We Do in the Shadows, let us know. Let us know your favorite moments. That show is fantastic. Dean, what have you got in the news?
All right, so we have been on a little bit of a break, you and I, for a couple of weeks. And, of course, we've been recording since this has happened. But, you know, obviously the not necessarily most biggest recent news, but the biggest news over the past several months has been COVID and how it is affecting television. And I know you have some delays you're going to talk about, but there have been a lot of shows that have been trying to cope and adapt with COVID. And we've mentioned a few of them over the past couple of months. A couple of these reunion shows that have been going on. Josh Gad himself has been putting several little reunion specials up every couple of weeks with different shows, which have been neat. Mm-hmm. SNL has been doing SNL at home. They've actually been better somehow than the regular SNLs over the past few years.
Okay.
One of the biggest things that have been going on, kind of a little cultural phenomenon, is SGN, Some Good News with John Krasinski. I know you and I are both big fans of John from The Office, of course. I'm not sure if you've watched him in Jack Reacher.
Jack on Ryan. Amazon,
or Jack, I'm Jack Reacher. Yeah, he's, yeah, that's in the Tom Cruise.
I have not. That is a show that my mother actually really likes.
It is fantastic, and he's fantastic in it. So Some Good News has been a short little 15-minute YouTube show that John's been doing where it's, you know, only good news stories, and they're little feel-good stories. Aww. Some might see them as kind of corny and cheesy, but especially if you got a family, they're great little things to watch with your family because they just – they've been focusing on, you know, kids having to deal with not graduating or being in school, people whose weddings have been ruined because of this, and how he can fix them. And usually it's just him saying these little good news and showing little video snippets. But every now and then, a couple episodes, he has like one girl, her and her mom were supposed to go to New York during this time and see Hamilton. So he has the girl on and ends up having like the entire original cast of Hamilton with John Lin-Manuel the Hamilton guy, and but it's the whole original cast singing one of the main songs from Hamilton. He has The Office do a little reunion, all the cast from that on one episode. Of course, his wife Emily Blunt pops in every now and then. So it's
oh, that's really his cool. wife so, in real life.
Yeah,
nice. I didn't know that.
Of course, now he's getting a little bit of controversy for that because he is apparently, quote unquote, sold out to CBS. CBS wants to have like a show like this. I don't know how much he will still be involved, but because he'll be doing other projects, he has sold this kind of over to them because I guess he, you know, probably doesn't have time to do this every single week. Mm-hmm. So CBS is going to take over for it. He's making about $10 million for this idea.
Whoa.
Yeah, which I think they're really just buying the name. I'm sure for $10 million, he's got to show up on it every now and then. But but yeah, people are giving him flack for it. But the dude did something good. If you know, it's easy to say that this was something corny and just attention seeking, but I think he had good intentions with what he did for it. And, you know, he's profiting off of it. It's good for him.
Yeah, yeah, good for him. Good for him. Yeah. Have you seen the, they're running one where you don't have AMC regularly, but they've done one on AMC Friday nights with Jeffrey Dean Morgan called At Home with the Morgans. And same
thing. It's commercials for that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've actually got a couple piled up on my DVR that I have not even, every time I think, oh, cause like Ray Seahorn was on one. I was like, I will definitely want to watch that. And I start watching it and it's just boring.
Yeah, I will tell you what not to watch is Learning to Cook with Amy Schumer Learns to Cook.
Don't worry, I can't stand her. I wouldn't watch anything with her.
That shit's awful.
I'm sure. Well, yeah, speaking of COVID delays, I mean, there is a litany of news that we're certainly not going to cover today, but the most recent that caught my eye in the long list of shows to be delayed, no surprise here, American Horror Story's next season is going to be delayed until 2021. Which means we probably won't get it until fall of 2021, right?
Right. I just hope this gives him time to make it better than 1984.
No, he'll end up just doing about a zillion other shows and not focus on making the next season anything special. But, you know, we'll still watch it. So there you go.
Well, going on with the network shows, one of your shows that you have continued to tout for years, and you've said for the past 8 months or so now how great this season has been and everyone else has poo-pooed you.
Nah, they're wrong.
But The Walking Dead's most recent season was the most watched cable drama in 2020. Now, I guess that also includes maybe the end of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Isn't that incredible? I'm telling you, this last season was fantastic. And they still have another episode to go that they finished production. So we're going to get like this little like mini movie over the summer.
Now, this is supposed to be the final season, right?
No way. Or is there going to be one more? It's just already been renewed. No, they have not announced final. No, but it has been renewed.
To me, it says more about how people aren't watching other cable shows. and that's what disappointed me about this. I'm fine with The Walking Dead getting a lot of views, but...
Oh, are you?
But, But people aren't watching Better Call Saul. People aren't watching Watchmen. People aren't watching the other HBO shows. Like, come on now.
That's true. It shouldn't rank higher than those shows. I agree with that. But Walking Dead's got a fan base.
People love zombies.
And I feel like if half the fan base that left it would come back, they would not be disappointed. And that show would just keep going on and on and on. And as it's intended to. It's intended to go on and on. People need to stop complaining about how it should end. No. It is meant to be a soap opera with zombies.
How long do soap operas last?
30 years?
When does the Walking Dead Gen Z show start?
That has been pretty much
delayed to death,
indefinitely.
Hopefully.
So I don't know. I'm not looking forward to that one. But yeah, they pulled the promos and everything. Yeah. On that, so I don't know.
All right. Well, I mentioned Watchmen earlier, and since we love Watchmen, Watchmen was, of course, one of the shows that we have gone in depth with in the past. So if you are a Watchmen fan, or if you haven't watched Watchmen and you want to catch up with that, make sure you go back and follow along with us as we discuss each episode in detail. But
the best show of 2019, I believe, deemed by Mike TV.
Damon Lindelof has been interviewed and has given a definitive answer. And this is a little bit of a spoiler alert.
Ooh.
But a definitive answer on the cliffhanger of whether or not the egg contained Dr. Manhattan's powers.
Okay. All right. So if people who don't want to know, skip ahead, like, I don't know, five seconds.
90 seconds.
All right. 90 seconds. Whoa, let's hear it.
But the definitive answer is, there is no confirmation or denying that she did, in fact, get Dr. Manhattan's abilities. Damon just wanted this to be an origin story for the possibility that she could have or didn't, but that she accepted the fact that she would get the power. So basically, headline is
there is
bullshit.
No confirmation or denying, meaning that it's still ambiguous.
So by news, I mean there is no news here. I really just wanted to get
for anybody who has skipped ahead, rewind and go back. Do not miss this is comedy.
Well, because you don't want to, they may not know about what the egg means, but he basically wanted this to be as ambiguous as possible because he liked the idea that this whole thing was origin stories, and it's an origin of the possibility that if Angela was choosing to become divine, this would be her origin here. But more importantly, in this, Lindelof did come out and flat out say that his show was a self-contained story, and that if there was a Watchmen season 2, he will not be involved. He's still saying that he's run out of ideas and thinks that other creative minds should easily be able to step in if they want to, and he's open to that and letting other people take the reins. But he is still saying that he is done with the show. So
would he not even serve in like a producer role or executive producer, and even like, you know, like with writers,
even like a consultant or something?
Yeah,
it sounds like I'm sure. Well, you know, if they do a season 2, he'll definitely still get producer credit, I'm sure, and created by and whatever. But he's out. He liked the way he ended it. It sounds like he's finally he's fine with how it ended. Probably is now seeing that most people have enjoyed it much over than not enjoyed it. So I think he's finally accepting it, because I know we both listened to his podcast, or the official Watchmen podcast, where he constantly would kind of like step back from ever really accepting responsibility for the show, because he was like so afraid that people wouldn't like it. But I think he's finally okay with it.
He took a lot of flack over Lost, right?
Yes.
Like, wasn't he one that was like run off of Twitter and everything over Lost? I mean,
I'm sure he was.
People were just horrible and heinous to him. So that's why he's not on Twitter. Yeah. I believe he does have an Instagram account. So hopefully people are a little bit kinder over there on that platform.
All right, a couple other news things. The Simpsons is finally being restored to its original format on Disney Plus. Now, if you're not familiar with this is something that was a big deal when Disney Plus launched. I know you're not a Disney Plus person.
Not yet. They have to have more original content first.
Right. And one of the biggest non-original content pulls that Disney Plus had is that they now have the full catalog of The Simpsons.
Including the Michael Jackson episode?
Ooh, I don't know if I've looked to see if that's actually on there or not.
I think it's in season 3. Check it out.
No, that's even earlier than season 3, I believe. It might be. I feel like the animation. I don't. I'm a huge Simpsons buff.
Sorry, but, I didn't mean to throw you off there news. This is exciting. Anyway, so you're happy for this?
Yeah. One of the big controversies when they did this was, you know, obviously The Simpsons is an old show, right? It's been on for 30 years, and when The Simpsons was originally on, there was no widescreen televisions. However, nowadays everything is widescreen. So when they put The Simpsons on Disney Plus, they zoomed in to make the whole show widescreen. Now some people might think, oh, well, good, it fits my whole TV. It doesn't have the black bars on the side. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when they do that, they cut out, you know, inches of
the top of Marge's hair is cut off.
And so there were a lot of sight
gags. Horrible when they do that. Yes. They've done that with other shows too.
And so there were obviously people who are fans of the show quickly noticed how much things were being cut out. But then even there are some things that if you were watching it for the first time, there's sight gags and stuff that don't make any sense because you can't see what's being talked about on the screen. Awful. So they're finally restoring it back to 4:3 ratio. The only kind of downside is that they're not just automatically doing this. You actually have to go in and like click like a details and like I want to put it for the
that for each episode.
I would hope that you don't have to do it once, but possibly.
Get it together, Disney Plus.
Yeah. On other platforms, Cobra Kai, which I've mentioned before. I don't know. Did you ever watch Cobra Kai?
Oh, one of my favorite shows. Dean, this is so funny when I saw this in your show notes because I was just thinking the other day. Literally just thinking like, I can't wait for Cobra Kai to come back. I am so stoked for the return of that show. So this better be some good news here.
If it comes back, and it sounds like they're planning on making it come back, it probably won't come back, you know, for another year or so because they haven't been filming it yet.
It has to come. Did you see season two, that cliffhanger? Yes. It has to come back.
So they are planning on bringing it back, but it doesn't sound like YouTube will be bringing it back. YouTube has been trying to actually, which, you know, YouTube did the experiment of having
and failed.
YouTube has original content because it's YouTube, but they tried to have original shows and they realized that people don't really want to pay for that. They'd rather just watch YouTube. So they've been pulling back on original content, but because Cobra Kai was one of their most successful shows, they are going to shop this around. Netflix and Hulu are the two bidders, it sounds like, for this right now. So expect Cobra Kai to show back up, either on Netflix or Hulu, hopefully. I would actually think that Netflix and Hulu probably would pour more money into it, especially if they start getting a big pull from the older seasons, and because there's a lot of people that have not seen this.
I know,
because they don't, even though it is available free on YouTube, the older seasons right now, people just don't think to go to YouTube for shows like that.
And listen, let me give a PSA on Cobra Kai. If you have any love for the original Karate Kid, I'm talking Karate Kid 1, even if you liked Karate Kid 2 a little bit, because there's a little bit of elements from that in Cobra Kai. Trust me when I say Cobra Kai does an amazing job continuing the stories in a very compelling way of these characters. And who knew, Dean, that William Zabka is such a good actor? Really good. He's really, really, really strong on this show.
And what Cobra Kai does so well is that it fills that whole nostalgic concept of the show, but it's something different. And it's tongue-in-cheek without being cheesy tongue-in-cheek.
Correct.
Like, so it is kind of making fun of the old concept, but it's doing it in a, you know, like it's not just
and
like winking
so
at the camera
funny.
All the time.
It's
yes,
so it's funny. Good. And the characters are so likable immediately. You're plunged into certainly a part of it is high school drama.
Yeah.
Much like the original movie was.
Yeah.
But it's all about so likable. They're not shitty, annoying kids.
Right.
They're just really, really super likable. Even the shitty, annoying ones.
Yeah.
You know, so
great show.
It is a great show. Cobra Kai. Oh, I hope that means good news for it. And I hope it doesn't get bought by like Fox or ABC. That would be
no
horrible.
I have to assume it'll get like they're shopping at streaming. It does sound like they're shopping at streaming, so it'll keep its R rating.
And you got any other news before I've got one last news
no
item.
Let's hear your last one.
So I think the biggest news since we last had a podcast is finally the launch of HBO Max. This is the streaming service that has been dangled over our over us for I don't know how long they've been talking about it. They have not been real clear on what specifically is going to be on it, other than, you know, like Friends and what other show did they snatch up? And our
Friends, Rick and Morty, of cartoon Adventure Time, Cartoon Network shows. There was one other.
There was another Big
Bang Theory, I think, is on there.
Oh, I don't watch Big Bang Theory, but isn't it combining HBO and Cinemax? Isn't that a part of it as well?
I don't know. Shouldn't we call this the failure to launch of HBO Max?
I guess we should have done a little more research on it, because I just put launch of HBO Max, but have done no research, and I'll tell you why. The exciting news that I have is that I do have a notice on. I am still a cable subscriber. I don't know for how much longer I keep saying that, but for now, I still have Xfinity Comcast cable, and I am an HBO subscriber, and we have a notification that says coming soon HBO Max, and it's going to be free to all HBO subscribers through Comcast. So if you already subscribe to HBO, supposedly it's coming for us.
So here is my issue, is that I am not a cable subscriber. I have Amazon Fire Sticks, and I found out the day before Max was about to launch that HBO Max is not available on an Amazon Fire Stick or a Roku stick.
I mean, and that's ridiculous.
That is what most cable cutters are on. And what's really crappy about it is that you can be watching HBO Now or HBO Go or HBO through Prime or HBO through Hulu or HBO through many other services on your sticks, but you can't get HBO Max because there's some argument between AT&T and these companies, because AT&T is trying to get an extra, you know, who knows, relatively speaking, how much little extra money they're trying to get out of it or whatever, but they're trying to negotiate stuff. Disney Plus had this issue with these right before its launch, but it got its shit together a couple of days beforehand, so I didn't think it was going to be a thing. Now, what did happen, thankfully I have an Xbox that I can play HBO Max on, and I actually went and signed up the Tuesday before the launch because I got the year of $11.99 HBO Max, which includes everything on HBO, where I was paying $15 for HBO, which would have then included HBO Max. So, like, I'm actually going to get it cheaper because I signed up for this new deal and then dropped it on my Amazon. But it's just now a pain in the ass because I got to switch devices to be able to watch it, as opposed to just flipping it over on my normal input. So it's, I don't know. And then everything I've heard is that, you know, I looked through it. I wasn't impressed with the initial launch stuff as far as original programming. I know there's an Anna Kendrick show on there that has a few episodes.
Terrible.
That I haven't watched. I haven't even watched it. I haven't watched a preview for it. Friends is on there, which my wife can watch at any point, but, you know, we've seen Friends 100 times. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I was clamoring to get over there just to watch Friends. I don't know. I'm looking at their website too.
If it's just
in the next year or so that are going to be up, but
yeah, there is just no way anybody's paying for this right now. I was excited. I think even Roby tweeted this earlier this week about the Looney Tunes catalog that's on there. Now that's kind of fun and exciting.
Yeah, I will actually say relate that to one of our older stories a second ago. Looney Tunes is not making the mistake that The Simpsons made. All their stuff is in original 4:3 format, so you don't have to have any issues with that.
Oh, that is good. That is good. Okay, so what I'm reading here on their site, so forget what I said about Cinemax. Who knows where? I guess because it says Max. The biggest difference in what you can stream, HBO Max is a standalone streaming platform where you can stream all of HBO together with more blockbuster movies and exclusive Max originals. Okay, great. Nice sales pitch. HBO Now and HBO Go are your options for streaming all of your HBO favorite series, plus movie specials and more. HBO Go is a streaming service included with your paid HBO subscription through TV or mobile provider. HBO Now is a standalone streaming service that lets you stream HBO without a TV or mobile package. Okay, yeah. That didn't explain shit.
Yeah, HBO, why don't you just fucking make one thing?
That is saying a whole lot of nothing. You know, if you want to forward through 5 seconds, I should have given the warning there on that whole rant. Yeah, I think though that that makes a lot of sense. Do you get HBO in real time with HBO Max, or do you have to wait a day or so before currently aired shows? I mean,
you may have to,
there's
like,
a whole lot right now, but yeah, I'm
You may have to wait till the next day. But even if that's the only drawback to not having HBO Live, like these day and ages, like not being able to watch it on Sunday night and you have to watch it on Monday is not that big of a deal, right?
So, yeah, good point. Good point. I don't know. Well,
all right. Well, that's our news.
All right, so that's it for the news.
If there's anything you guys want us to talk about as far as if there's news we don't catch or anything maybe we missed, just make sure you send it to us and we'll catch it up for next week.
Absolutely. So, and I imagine some news sections will be or segments will be shorter than others.
Right.
All right, so, what we're watching. You've been traveling. Have you watched much of anything?
We talked about a show we're going to finish that I just finished. We'll talk about, but I've been trying to get a few things in. I haven't watched a lot of stuff. Started a couple of things. But yeah, I've been pretty off the grid as far as keeping up with things. I've missed the Killing Eve finale. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to talk about that next week. Cause whenever I do get to that, I want to talk about that. Okay. Did you start or one that I did finish that we've both watched is Run, HBO's mm-hmm. Run.
Yes. Yeah, I do want to talk about Run. We can dive into that one real quick too, because I did finish Run. And I really liked it. It was only 7 episodes.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, only 7 episodes. And held my attention the entire run. Haha.
Okay. Yeah.
Really started liking it there toward the end as it really started to go crazy. And then it had like a good kind of bittersweet ending. And I think that's it. I don't think it's coming back for a season 2.
Really?
So I'm not so sure in hindsight now how I feel about that ending as a series ending. But yeah, we'll watch for the news. We'll keep you updated on that. But overall, do you think it's going to make your list of top 2020 shows? I really enjoyed it. I liked it maybe
because there's going to be a lack of shows because of COVID. Yeah. It could possibly fit into like number 22 or something.
Sure.
But,
honorable mention at least.
I like the acting. I like the chemistry between the two characters.
Mm-hmm.
But there was too much that wasn't they set up too much not answered at the end.
Well, okay, well, let's talk about the premise of the show is two characters who are kind of like long-lost lovers who are reunited through a text where they kind of made this pact from their college days that if ever one of them wanted to get out of their adult life, all they had to do was text Run to the other, and they would meet at some train station and take this cross-country train trip and decide if they want to change their lives and be together forever. And because the show is called Run and it's based on this premise, which is what the main characters do in the very first episode, is that text exchange. But the thematic tone of Running carries through the whole season or through the whole show. And I like that because they're always running. They're running from something. They're either running to get together, running to get apart from each other, running from the law toward the end, you know? So I like in almost every episode we see them running, and it's woven into the show intentionally, but also organically. It makes sense. And it flows. The lead characters were really good. I thought it had some really strong, very funny moments.
Yes. I think that ambiguous ending would be fine where you never really know if she's going to eventually come back to him and leave her family for him or if she's just going to leave him forever, because I think that would be fine, except for the fact that there's still these like lingering questions of, was this all him fucking her over to write a book? Was this,
started that way.
We never really even find out like what he actually did to like why he was running away from his life. Like it was very clear that she didn't care for her. Like, you know, she's a story of many women, I'm sure, as far as just
Yes,
got married to someone they didn't care for, had kids that now they're stuck with. They love the kids, but they don't love the husband. Mm. You even see her kind of talk back to him at the end when she's like, I'm not a baby girl. Like when he's like, how's my baby girl? He's like, I'm not a baby.
I know. I hated that he said that to her. But could this really have played out in a satisfying way if she chose to leave her kids? I mean, what? I don't think that would have set her up to be a very good character.
No, but then what's worse about it is then there's also the fact that, like, he may or may not have murdered somebody.
Yeah, I know. So the fact that it might not be coming back is disturbing to me, because that is a lot of unanswered questions.
Yeah. So like I said, I like the characters. It was a fun watch. I didn't get tired of it. But I don't know, the ending landed a little flat. So,
well, I enjoyed it. I'm glad that is one show that we've at least both completed. We do have other shows that we will be talking about in future episodes that I know we're both watching, or I have completed, that you're not done with yet. So we will save our discussion on those, but that includes Killing Eve, which I know you've only got a couple more episodes. So I believe by next week we'll be talking about the Killing Eve finale, which was fantastic. Once again, Killing Eve just continues to be a phenomenal show.
And have you started, or have you already finished the season 2 of Homecoming?
I have started Homecoming. I am up to episode 3. I don't know why I'm taking this one so slowly. Okay. I'm enjoying it, though.
Okay.
And
probably going to start that in the next week or so. So
I loved season 1, and I will say that this one, while it does not have me as gripped as season 1. Like season 1, I couldn't stop watching.
Right.
I started it. This one's not doing that to me. However, it is bringing the character played by Hung Chow into it a lot stronger. She was played on Watchmen. Oh my gosh. Lady True. Yes. Has a small role as like an assistant
in season one to the
Geist guy.
Okay.
In season 1. She doesn't even show up in season 1 till like later episodes.
Okay.
Very small role.
So this does have a connection to season 1.
Yes, a strong connection.
Okay.
I can't think of, oh my gosh, her name is on the tip of my tongue. It's killing me that I can't think of it right now. But anyway, you'll recognize her immediately. And the new lead actress, Janelle
Monáe.
Yeah. She's just beautiful and stunning and very interesting. And this is not a spoiler, because this really starts off right from the scene 1. She's got amnesia.
Okay, yeah.
And amnesia is just never, I mean, I know they did that with the Walter character in season 1 a little bit. I know that's kind of tied to the Geist, what they're producing, that red shit they're producing, right? It's kind of a...
Well, even Julia Roberts' character had amnesia in the first one.
Well, that's
like, so that was the whole thing, right? Like,
that's true. But I mean, Janelle Monáe has complete amnesia; doesn't even know her name or anything. So,
gotcha.
That's sometimes that could be that gets a little overplayed in shows at times and gets worn out. So, I'm a little nervous about it, but I am enjoying what I've seen so far.
Okay. Well, the big show that started this week was Space Force this past Friday. We've been talking about that, looking forward to that. Have you started that yet?
I have started it. I've seen the first episode. I really have enjoyed it. Steve Carell was fantastic. We got the Kokomo montage in the episode 1 that they showed in all the trailers. Lisa Kudrow, can't go wrong with her. And talk about an incredible cast. Everybody and their brother is on this show.
Yeah, so I'm about 4 episodes in. A lot of them are not in every episode.
Yeah, I figured that. I should say I've started episode 2, so I kind of saw that.
But they do still show back up, like, because, you know, he walks into that chief of staffs, and there's Jane Lynch, Diedrich Baker.
If you like
Patrick Waterburton, like all those,
almost everybody from Veep except for Tony Hale and Julia Louis-Dreyfus, but almost everybody is in this show from Veep.
So it's good so far.
I'm liking it a lot.
It's not as laugh out loud funny as I hoped it would be, but then again, most Greg Daniels shows take about a season to really get into their own. And I know we're going to talk about Parks and Rec in a little bit, but even that, you know, like that's a show I've loved it, but the first, and even The Office, the American Office, the first season is good, but it's nothing compared to when they start getting into season 2, 3, and 4, you know, like into when you really know the characters and you know their tics and stuff like that. So I'm holding out hope for it. I kind of am unsure because since this is a binge show, that I worry that since people aren't taking the time to watch this, that maybe it won't get traction. I hope with the star power that's in it, it gets at least a second season, but it's a little slow and there's some fantastic actors in it. The late great Fred Willard, who just passed away last week, is so fantastic. And I hate that the character he's playing seems so feeble and weak because it just makes me think like, oh shit, he just died. But
final role, maybe, huh?
Yeah. But I've enjoyed it so far. I will say the one thing that, and my wife has said this almost every episode, Steve Carell is not doing a great job with whatever this affectation he's trying to do with his voice, because he'll go into this kind of gruff general character and he has this like growl in his voice, but then every now and then he easily just slips into being Steve
Michael
Carell.
Scott a little Michael
Steve
Scott
Carell. So his affectation of his voice kind of goes in and out, but during our break, I've updated my iPhone, so I actually have Apple TV for next year, so I'll be putting that on my list to watch.
Please do. That's the only Apple show so far that I would say is a must-watch. And Steve Carell, I mean, because you know he's got the acting chops. We've seen movies in where he's not Michael Scott, right?
Right.
And in The Morning Show, he's great, and he's definitely not Michael Scott. And you don't even think for a minute, like, did I just get a hint of Michael Scott?
Yeah.
But maybe this is the Greg Daniels, Steve Carell combination. Maybe it's how he's being directed as well. But I keep getting like little bursts of Michael Scott popping out of him. And I don't want that. I want him to be a wholly different character. Hopefully that will evolve I am going to stick with it. I love Lisa Kudrow, who plays his wife on the show. And in episode 1, there's a time jump. Near the beginning, and all of a sudden she's in prison.
Right.
Which is driving me absolutely bananas. And they don't even address it. They go from happily married and very successful in his promotion to a five-star general or whatever, and all of a sudden she's in jail.
Yeah.
Please tell me that gets explained.
Four episodes in, she does get a couple more scenes in jail, but you do not know why she's in jail. See her character slipping into jail mode more and more as the season goes on.
So that alone, the fact that I must know the answer to that is what's going to keep me watching it. All right, I've got a couple other shows that I'd like to recommend and talk about because I'm watching them. One. A little bit blast from the past, but I finally, this was after we recorded our Westworld finale. You and I talked a little bit offline about there was this OJ. I was asking you how the Michael Jordan documentary was going. Did you finish that, by the way?
Yes, fantastic.
Okay, and I said, well, I remember there was ESPN did an OJ Simpson documentary that ran. At the same time as the People versus O.J. Simpson Ryan Murphy show, and I never watched the ESPN one. So, Dean, I went back, and that one won Academy Awards and things. Yeah. Like, it won an Oscar for Best Documentary. It wasn't even in the theaters. So I went back and watched it, and you know, it was fantastic. I couldn't stop. I binged it all, and then like a fool, like a crazy fool, I went back and watched all of the Ryan Murphy People versus O.J. Simpson again, because I wanted to see how close they got it, you know, and it surprisingly very, very close with the courtroom stuff, especially. So I wish I'd watched it back then. I thoroughly enjoyed the rewatch of The People versus O.J. Simpson, though. That show is just as good on a second watch. So if you're looking for a show that you'd like to revisit, that show was in 2016, so it's 4 years old now. It's out there on Netflix, and it's fantastic.
I have ESPN Plus, which has all the 30 for 30s for it, so I will.
No, I meant the
the Ryan Murphy one.
The Ryan Murphy
yes,
one.
Yes, that's good too.
It's so good. Anyway, I'm also watching. I finished Mrs. America, which was FX on Hulu original. And that's the Kate Blanchett, women's lib, ERA movement of the 70s. It really carries through the whole decade of the 70s into Ronald Reagan's election. And it's really good. It focuses on real life characters from this movement, ones that I was not familiar with. Of course, I knew what's her face? Gloria Steinem. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, everybody's heard of her. But there were so many other women that I really just was not familiar with of this time, including Phyllis Schlafly, who was on the conservative side in the conservative movement. That's who Kate Blanchett plays.
Okay.
And just a really strong tour de force by some really strong women actresses. Sarah Paulson, I have to say, steals the show like she always does, especially later in the season. There's a particular episode where they're all at a convention in Houston that really did occur, and she gets really drunk, and I can't remember if she also takes some pills or something, but she goes on this like really crazy trip all through, and she's a conservative. She's on the conservative side, and she's kind of tripping her way through all these real big time liberal areas of this convention. And her performance is astounding.
Now, is this a Ryan Murphy show too?
This is not, but it is an FX show. And I would put it up there as good. Like if you enjoyed the assassination of Gianni Versace, if you enjoyed any shows of that caliber that FX has done over the years, Feud, of course, those were both Ryan Murphy shows. Right, let me think of one that wasn't. But, you know, FX always is doing, Fosse Verdon. You know, it's that high of caliber. It's that compelling of drama, strong writing, beautiful set design and costuming, real period perfect stuff. Really enjoyed it. Mrs. America. It's 9 episodes and it's on Hulu. And then I've got 2 more shows, sorry. I would be remiss if I didn't say that the final season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is back. This is a show, and shout out to Roby Neely, our number one fan on Twitter. He is on Twitter at Remotes1. Everybody should follow him. Roby, I know, is watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too. He wrote me an email about it. He's watched it from the beginning, as have I. This is a show that I promise you, I know it's on ABC. I know it gets dogged on. It gets a lot of flack, but I have enjoyed it really since the beginning. But if you started Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., anybody out there who started it and fell off in season one, I agree. It does lag a little in season one, but by the end of season one and from season two forward, it just gets better and better and better. And it is in its 7th and final season, which has just started airing on ABC. And I'm very sad to see it go, but excited that it's back and excited to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Now, are you, because I know you and your husband, Sean, are very into comics and stuff, mm-hmm. and obviously you like this, but are y'all into the Marvel movies at all, like the MCU?
We are. And here's what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did so well at the beginning. They don't do it anymore, but they did tie-ins with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So the show would air in between Marvel movies, right, and oftentimes have crossovers from the Thor movies, right, early on, and yeah, from Captain America. And of course, this is Agent Coulson, who dies, right, in the first Avengers movie.
Right.
So season one of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. explains how he really didn't die. Right. You know, so like, how is he in this show? Well, that does get explored and explained.
Right.
And in a very mysterious way.
Yeah, I heard this season actually is going to possibly tie back into the next, like, the future of the movies.
Mm-hmm. That would be great if it does. They have done things like they've had Ghost Rider on. They've had some characters come in. And then they have done things like after Endgame, you know, there was kind of mention of like, oh, now that I think they see, they've also done things with these characters where they've traveled to outer space, they've traveled to other dimensions.
Times,
so they've also they've also been preoccupied while the events of Endgame were going
right
on. So they might have actually been not on this earth at that time, but it's really good, and there's some really compelling, exciting, fun characters. Two notable ones are Gemma Simmons and Leo Fitz, who are the scientists and are inseparable as Fitzsimmons, and they're quirky and funny, and they're both British, so they have these real sassy sounding voices, and they're quippy. But then, of course, over the course of the seasons, they've also fallen in love, and they've also been torn apart so many times and had this always the struggle, you know, to find each other again. So here we are in the seventh and final season, and once again, Fitz and Simmons trying to find their way back to one another.
I'm sure there are no Carrie and Carrie, though.
Oh, no, they're not Carrie. Carrie, that's great. That's true. Great Legion tie-in there, callback. But they are endearing and charming and very fun, as is Agent Coulson. Clark Gregg, who plays Agent Coulson, is, of course, a fabulous actor. Somebody I love a lot. And speaking of somebody else I love a lot, there is a new three-part show airing on AMC right now called Quiz. Have you seen this, Dean?
I saw previews of this. Is this like the quiz show movie type of concept, or almost like Slumdog Millionaire idea of like someone who cheated on a...
Sort of, but this is based on a true story. And this is starring Matthew McFadden, who is in Succession. I love him in Succession. Of course, he uses an American accent in Succession. But here he is in his full British form. Okay. This is very exciting. So it's only three parts, so you don't have to get super invested. Only episode one has aired so far. It's airing on Sunday night, so very easy to catch up on it. I'm sure they're repeating it. Right. But this is about, in the 90s, a little old show called Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Yeah. Started in England, actually. And this is, prior to that, game shows that aired in England, properties and game show titles, were always purchased from America. England had never had a successful game show that they were able to sell to other countries. And in fact, most game shows they did were copies or, you know, franchises they bought from American properties. So the first episode here shows the origins of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and that it was conceptualized by two British gentlemen and pitched to the TV4 network or IF, whatever their networks are over there. The big network bought them, became an instant hit. It's super exciting. And this is a story about Matthew McFadden's character and his wife, and plus another guy who actually learned how to cheat the system and win the $1 million. And of course they got busted.
Okay.
That's a fact. Like, this is a true story, right, yeah, about these people. So it actually starts with their courtroom hearing, cool, and then kind of flashes back and unfolds in a story like that. But it's so compelling. And if you ever watched Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, to kind of know these origin stories of this show is also a lot of fun. And I knew it was a British show, and I knew it, right, was very successful, but I never really knew this kind of extensive history about it.
So no Regis Philbin. Regis isn't going to be in it?
No, not Regis. The British guy with the floppy blonde hair. I don't know his name. I don't know anybody on the show.
Graham Norton?
No, it was not Graham Norton. It was not. Anyway, that's Quiz. Everybody check it out. So that's what we're watching.
All right. So before we move on to the last couple of things we're going to talk about, let's look at just a couple of things we will be talking about in the future. A couple of the, so we're not going to do always have the exact same categories every week. We're obviously going to do news, what we're watching, things like that. We have a couple other things we're going to do later on that we'll do every week, but there are a few things that in the next coming weeks we'll be doing that we're still kind of making sure we have enough stuff to talk about. We just haven't really set them, and we also kind of want to do a little bit of rotation. But one of those is going to be a segment we called Pitch and Ditch. And so Pitch and Ditch we're not going to do tonight, but we're going to just talk about some of the things we're going to be doing, and these can be things that you can add in too. Again, if you email us.
I thought you had to pitch something to me.
I'm going to hold mine until you have one ready. So we'll hold this till next week.
Oh, I was bracing myself. Okay.
No, we'll hold this.
Well, you don't want to give a little sneak preview of what it is? Give people a taste?
Well, maybe I'll get a little bit. So Pitch and Ditch is going to be a show that Lisa and I will each pitch each other a show that we think the other one probably will not like, or at least off the sound of it, definitely won't like the sound of it. But if maybe they gave it a chance, they might actually like it. Mm-hmm. Now, each person is under no obligation to watch this, unlike our homework assignments, which we'll be doing later, which you are under obligation to watch. Mm-hmm. But this is one that we are pitching. This almost put this under your like guilty pleasure type of show. So my show this week, if we would have done this, is going to be the show Ultimate Tag.
Mm.
Now, I know right off the bat that already sounds awesome, right? Ultimate Tag. When in a world without sports, what sport can you watch? Ultimate Tag.
I can't even conceive how a show could be made out of playing tag. I really don't.
It's like American Gladiators, but without the like cool stuff.
Yeah, so it sucks.
It's two contestants. Well, there's two men, two women playing against each other.
No,
and they're playing against
four people playing tag.
Well, but no. It's two men play against each other, two women play against each other in different rounds. But they don't play against each other. They're playing against ultimate taggers, and this is where the American Gladiator part comes in, because they have this cast of, you know, parkour agile people who are the ultimate taggers. But of course they each have their own persona and character.
Wait, what's a tagger? Maybe I'm thinking of like when I used to play on the playground in kindergarten and first grade playing tag, where you like have to go up and smack somebody.
The contestants have a vest on that have like almost like flag football vest type. They have little flags on them. And so tagging means they have to pull the flag off of them.
Okay.
And it's really a course that they run through that they get timed on. And then these ultimate taggers are trying to grab the tags off of them. But you have such great characters, characters such as the Geek, Banshee,
wait a second.
The Big Deal,
show.
The Flame.
Like, they have to, like, jump through, like, donuts in the water and not fall in and stuff, and then all of a sudden something pops out and tries to scare them and make them fall in?
You're thinking more, Wipeout or something like that.
Yeah, or whatever that show was. There was one, it came from Japan. It had a Japanese name when it first came over.
No, this is even dumber. At least Wipeout's funny.
Dean. Tell me you're not watching this show like on the regular. Are you just,
my children
just trying to pitch this to me so that
my children watch this show? So I end up watching it.
Is it on Nickelodeon? What network is it on?
It's on Fox, I think.
Is it Prime Time?
It's hell yeah. Wednesdays at 9 o'clock. What else is going to take the spot of the Masked Singer?
Ooh. Oh, this is in while Masked Singer's in the off season. This is the wow.
Hey, Lisa.
This is a
I know
low.
We didn't mention this earlier, and I know this seems randomly out of place, but since you're asking about the Masked Singer.
Oh, no.
You need to know who won the Masked Singer.
It's done? There was ultimate winner?
Ultimate Tag's up now, so we had a winner.
Okay, who won? The banana?
Well, I'm not, you know what?
Swan?
Just giving you the winner would be one thing. I got to give you the top three.
Okay. All right, let's hear them.
So the top three. All right. Third place was the Turtle.
Mm-hmm.
And the Turtle was hip-hop star Bow Wow. You remember Bow Wow? He used to be Lil Bow Wow, and now he's just Bow Wow.
Okay, yes.
Okay.
Don't ask me to name a single song of his, but sure.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I said that wrong. He was the frog. He was not the turtle. He was the
frog. Shoot.
Much better persona
for him.
The turtle was the second place winner.
Okay.
The runner up was the turtle, which was singer and actor Jesse McCartney. You remember Jesse
McCartney? Formerly of a boy band or something?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Sure.
He was like not Nick Carter from the Backstreet Boys. He didn't like Nick Carter. Yeah.
Sure.
And then the winner, which was the Night Angel.
Wait, so other people have to be fruit and animals, and all of a sudden this person gets to be something cool like a Night Angel?
Yeah, some people are really – well, the frog was like a pimp. He was like a pimp frog. And the turtle was like a skateboarder, spiky-haired turtle.
Oh, like so like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle or something?
A little more grungy.
Mm.
Less ninja skills, probably.
Oh,
like,
God.
So like, looks like he'd want to get in a fight, but probably couldn't be in a fight.
Who was the Night Angel?
So the Night Angel was singer, Grammy Award-winning songwriter, and Real Housewife of Atlanta star, Candy Burris.
I have never heard of her.
I hadn't either. But she won.
All right. So Masked Singer ended on a fizzle.
Yeah, this is how the world ends. Not you with know, a bang,
Fox
but with a whimper.
Really? I mean, come on. Remember when Fox was like, well, you're probably too young to remember. When it first came on the scene, it was the cool, hip network. Yeah. It had The Simpsons. It had Married with Children.
Yeah.
90210, Melrose Place. Like, it was showing, weren't those shows on Fox? Like, it was showing good, interesting television that was a little more cutting edge and a little more exciting than the other three networks. And now it has just fallen right into, it might as well be CBS.
Yeah, well, you know, they lost American Idol, so now they got to have the Masked Singer.
Well, what a bunch of crap. Okay, so on Masked Singer, for sure, I'm ditching. And that Ultimate Tag, for sure, I'm ditching. Don't ever assign either of those shows to me in a homework assignment. So I will bring something to pitch to you next week, and you can either decide, like, that sounds interesting, or you can decide to ditch it. But on those, I'm tapping out before even tapping in on either one of those.
And fair then, enough. Yes,
let's invite our listeners, pitch us something, send us something on Twitter, send us something in an email. We'll read it. And then we will decide whether it belongs, it should be
pitched or ditched.
Pitched or ditched, right. Yep. Which I guess are kind of the same thing.
Yeah. All right. The other topic we will be talking about in the future, or a little segment we'll be doing, is, you know, we want to keep it thorough. We're known as the Deep Dive Show, but we're not going to spend hours going through things. So instead of spending 3 hours going through one episode, we're going to spend about 10 to 20 minutes going through possibly an entire series of a show, maybe a season or two. But we're going to be doing some deep dives in the shallow end.
Yes.
So again, these will be shorter, but yet very thorough. Like, we're going to talk a lot in a short amount of time about a specific theme of a show, maybe some specific characters, again, maybe a certain season of a show we really both have enjoyed. But these will be shows that we both really like, we really care for. We may even find some that we have some completely different opinions on. Probably mostly they'll be the ones we can just both gush on.
You never know.
But we'll see. But the first one is going to be one we are both going to gush on. We have mentioned this show many times over the past year, and we're going to try to do this probably next week. And that's going to be giving and I know it's hard for both of us to talk so short of a time for a show like this, but we are going to discuss The Leftovers.
That's right. Speaking of Damon Lindelof, weren't we talking about him earlier? Watchmen. Yeah. Yes. That's right. His tour de force, his best show, my favorite show of all time. Even as bleak as it is, it is so happy also in my heart and in my mind. The Leftovers is a very special show to me from every angle. So yeah, that is going to be our first deep dive in the shallow end topic. So if you would like us to read your comments or thoughts about The Leftovers, if you haven't watched The Leftovers and want to be able to listen to our deep dive discussion next week, now is your chance. Do not miss this show. Stop everything that you are watching and go watch The Leftovers, please. I would say we won't deep dive into it tonight, but I would say if you haven't watched it, a lot of people noped out. It's only three seasons. The first two seasons are 10 episodes. The final season is 8, so it's 28 episodes in total. It has a great ending. So it's completely a complete, you know, doesn't, it's not like it got canceled. It's a complete series. And a lot of people noped out in the first season because the first episodes unravel like Lindelof does. They're a little confusing. They don't really string together. They jump around a little bit. You're being kind of like thrust in the world of several characters. So you have to give it till, I would say, episode 5 of season 1. And then from that point forward, it is full steam ahead. So good. Never misses a beat from that point. And season 2 and season 3 are probably two perfect, completely perfect seasons of television.
Yeah, and you can find that on HBO. And I think actually, even if you don't have HBO, the older season, because they're older seasons, they, I believe all three seasons are on Amazon Prime.
Oh, nice. And of course, HBO Max.
Right, yes. If you have HBO Max, that's on there too.
So that'll be our discussion next week. Now we have, we're going to give each other homework assignments. Let's talk about that segment because we do have some homework assignments. And then we're going to go into our final segment of the week, which I'm also excited for.
So, should we do our homework last? Maybe we should do the homework last.
Okay, we can do that.
Yeah,
right.
So this will be a week. So what we are going to get into is a mm-hmm. weekly thing we're going to do at least for the next few weeks, possibly for this summer. But we're calling this segment Parks and Recommended.
That's right.
So if you figured that out pretty quickly, we're going to be talking about Parks and Rec every week.
And here's why. Here's why. Yeah. For those of you who don't know, of course, Dean and I have talked about our love of The Office. And he has watched all of Parks and Recreation. And prior to us starting podcasting together, I had watched none of it. Big fan of The Office, zero views of Parks and Recreation. So Dean has been... I wouldn't say harassing, but he has been hounding me to please watch Parks and Rec. He has assured me I would love it, promised me that I would love it. And I keep saying, okay, I'll start it. Well, I started it. And Dean, I'm here to say 100% correct. I love it. So yes. That is how this segment was born, because we're going to be talking about Parks and Recreation kind of through the lens of me, the viewer, watching it for the first time and where I am every week. So we're not going to go ahead. Dean's not going to spoil anything for me. No. I'm going to tell you what I've seen so far, what I've really been loving about it. I have some questions. We'll take a deep dive into what I've watched so far. So many celebrities and stars and so many guest appearances and recurring roles and so many exciting things to talk about. Each episode of Parks and Recreation from the pilot grabbed me, Dean, and each episode just kept getting better and better, like you said it would.
Good.
And I'm hooked. I mean, it's all I want to watch. It is. In fact, don't be surprised if next week I come back and say all I've been watching, other than my homework assignment and my deep dive in the shallow end assignment. Other than that, probably only Parks and Rec, because I love it.
Now, let me ask, as you started this, because I know this was what you were kind of worried about, but mm-hmm. you said you were hooked from the pilot, but did you not, like, were you, how much did your fear of, oh, this is just The Office in another office take over at the beginning of this?
A little bit. I was worried that Leslie Knope was just going to be Michael Scott in a female version. Guess what? She's not.
No.
She's definitely a fully, wholeheartedly different character, and I adore her. I was also worried that the documentary style was going to mimic The Office too much, and that's the part of it that's got me a little bit like, I don't get this documentary style, because they never set, like, The Office sets it up with, hey, we're being filmed for a documentary. They kind of kick it off with that so that you understand the talking head segments. Excuse me. As a viewer, there's no explanation to the talking head segments,
right,
and the constant looking into the camera on this show. It just starts off that way, and that's how it's done.
Yes.
And is that how it's going? That's my first question, actually. Is that how it's going to carry through the whole way? They never explain the documentary element?
Yes, there is no, like, whereas in The Office, they do, and obviously in the final season, of course, this, it really comes to fruition about, like, no, there is no reason, explanation whatsoever about the fact that this is a documentary of any kind. In fact, even like there is some allusion to the cameras every now and then, but even then, like, it's almost as if they're talking to like another person, you know, as if like mm-hmm. it's a fourth wall type thing and they're talking to another person. So there's never even like a show of like no bumping the camera, no mics, no anything like that. Like it doesn't really ever talk, but you almost
forget about that. Bothers me a little.
You'll completely forget about it I mean, you said you're already in season two. Mm-hmm. Don't even worry about it anymore, because it really just doesn't matter. Like, it has no relevance to it.
But it bothers me because these characters are cognizant of the fact that they are talking and right. giving yes. explanation about things.
Yes.
Therefore, because that's a move that the characters are making, I just expect the characters to acknowledge that. I don't know. I trust these writers enough to feel like they wouldn't just omit that. It feels like such a glaring error. Was it done intentionally?
I mean, I guess so, because like I said, they just never, like, you know, like I said, even how The Office, especially toward the last few seasons, but really the last season, they wrap up with, hey, we're premiering the documentary now. And it's, you know, and that's the reason why they're there. There's none of that. You don't see anybody ever take off a battery pack or talk about mics or anything like that. It's just there. It's as if someone was just documenting this office the entire time.
All right. Well, that bothers me. Okay. I love the opening theme music. And also I love, and I hope this gag stays the whole way through, because this makes me laugh every time. There is a running gag that kicks off from the pilot. And I think this is what grabbed me, and the fact that they kept doing it, of the murals. Those fucking murals kill me. Yes. They kill me.
And they go on almost the entire series, like different murals and new murals, and not just that, but other historical things about Pawnee.
Yeah,
how terrible the history of Pawnee was.
And the murals are very politically incorrect in their depiction, and that's what's so funny. And then Leslie Knope's explanation of them, like, it was a different time. I mean, she is so earnest. Her portrayal of this character, she's not dumb. Like, a lot of times, like, Michael Scott.
Right.
I mean, I can only compare her because she's the lead of the show, like, the same as Steve Carell was of The Office. That's my only comparison here. That's where it starts and ends. But, like, Steve Carell oftentimes came across as chauvinistic or actually kind of stupid or really just naive at times. Whereas Leslie Knope is actually very smart and she's very kind. But she's so earnest, and that does affect her, like, decision-making ability. So she, you know, she tries to do the right thing, but oh my God, she's great. But I have to say, my standout performances, like you said, it was going to be Aziz Ansari as Tom is the best. He kills me. He kills me. I love Aziz Ansari. I guess this is one of his breakthrough moments too. He kills me. Of course, as I'm getting into season two. Okay, so season one was only like 6 episodes or something, so it's fast. And it really focuses on this pit. Now, the pit is hysterical to me, too. The pit that is outside of Anne's house, which is what ties the characters of Anne and Andy into this Parks and Rec team. Anne played by Rashida Jones. She's great. Yep. And Andy played by Chris Pratt. Oh, my God. Andy kills me, too, but... Okay, so I loved the pit. I was really hoping the pit would also remain a pit for a while, because season two opens up and Chris Pratt's character, Andy, is living in the pit.
Yeah.
Which killed me. I mean, as preposterous, as ridiculous as it was, he sold it. And it was so funny every time the cameras panned over to him in the pit. You know, even like in a rainstorm in the pit, and he's all excited because like he thinks Anne like acknowledged him in some way. So he's like trying to get Anne back. She's broken up with him, whatever. So I was a little upset when the pit got filled in, because I was like, oh man. And now they're still like, now they're in the zoning wars for this land to, you know, but I was excited to see more of the pit. And that brings Chris Pratt's character now is the shoeshine man.
Yep.
At the Parks and Rec department. He is extremely funny. And we are seeing, of course, Aubrey Plaza, who plays April. seeing her start to kind of like have a crush on him. And I just got through the episode where she got hired as Nick Offerman's fantastic Ron Swanson. He's so funny. And she just got hired from her temp position as his assistant. And she's hilarious as his assistant. And yes, those and two, those two together are just as good as Tom and Leslie are together is like Ron and April play off each other so well in a very hysterical way. And Ron has really grown on me because of his love for breakfast food. And his ex-wife, Tammy the second, or Tammy two, played
Tammy two.
By Megan Mullally, who I love.
You know that's his wife in real life, right?
No, I did not.
Yeah, that's Nick Offerman's wife.
Oh, dang. Okay, well, they were fantastic. Just, yes. I got recently through that episode, too. So speaking of, so I've kind of mentioned the main cast. Was there anybody I didn't cover there in the main cast? Amy Poehler.
Retta, who plays Donna. She's great.
Yes.
And then I can't ever think of his name because he's not like a made, but Jerry. Jerry's just a great comic relief. But
and so
a butt of
I know,
all
like,
jokes
and I know, yeah, he's very funny. And like Adam Scott hasn't joined yet. And I know,
right? He's, yeah, he's not
till
later.
Rob Lowe and stuff. But the, here's the list. Just already, I think I'm on like episode 13 of season two. And starting with season two, the seasons get longer. So like 22 episode seasons, right?
Yeah.
So there's lots to talk about, but this is where I'm at. They just got through. Here's the guest and recurring roles that have already been on so far. Louis C.K. as Leslie Knope's boyfriend, cop boyfriend. I know Louis C.K. is canceled or whatever, but I still think he's funny as all get out. He was great in this role. Sad to see him go, but I don't know if he'll be back or not. But he was great so far. Megan Mullally, you've already mentioned her. I can't wait to see more of her. H. John Benjamin, did you catch him early on? He's fantastic in the role as Leslie's lawyer.
Yeah.
They think that when they think Andy's going to sue the rec department. Fred Armisen as Raul.
Yes.
Whoa, that was so funny.
The Venezuelan dictator general.
To try to give them money, and then in the end, Leslie won't take it. I do like that she does the right thing. And then finally, the last three notable cameos that I've seen so far. I know there are more coming. But Will Arnett.
Back when him and Amy Poehler were married.
Oh, they're married in real life?
No, well, him and Amy Poehler used to be married.
Oh, okay.
Now not,
well, that was the blind date that Anne set her up with when she really wanted to go out with Anne's friend, Justin.
Yes.
And who wouldn't? Because that's Justin Theroux, albeit clearly before he got some hair transplants.
Yeah. He definitely has the huge hairline. But
yeah, he's got the not great hairline with a haircut that does not accentuate it in the right way at all. So like, I'm like, woo, Justin, I'm glad you fixed your look before the leftovers. But
now, has he just been introduced for you?
He's just been introduced. Okay. So he's Anne's friend. And
he's there for a little while.
Yeah, and I already IMDb'd to see how many episodes we're going to get of Justin Theroux. I can't wait. So in the end, Anne finally did set him up with Leslie. It looks like it's going to be great. And then the final cameo, this was in the episode where they were trying to hire an assistant for Ron, and however Tom got put in charge of it, and the string of interviews that he did, oh, killed me. But then to land on Ben Schwartz, right?
Yes. Yep.
With the floppy hair, tell me his name. Raul.
John Ralphio.
Oh my God! And this is fresh off of having watched Middle Ditch and Schwartz on Netflix, which
and he's also on. He's going to be on Space Force too. He's the PR director for the Space Force.
Well, I love him now, and will watch anything he's in. So, Thomas Middleditch.
So out of all the guest stars, he's by far the most comprehensive. Like, he's there every season. He's on the reunion special. But yeah, John Ralphio is the most ridiculous and the most awesome character ever. He's the best. Every time he's on screen.
I can't wait to see more of him.
Yeah. He, you can't help but just laugh out loud every time John Ralphio shows up.
And that he annoys Ron Swanson so much.
Oh, so much.
Oh, I mean, you can just, it's palpable. You can feel it coming off of him. It's hilarious. I saw the episode where Ron Swanson had a hernia and couldn't move out of his chair. Anyway, Parks and Recommended. That's our segment. I'm sure we'll have more discussion. Oh, I did have a question. Do you know, so in season one, Chris Pratt is listed as a guest star in the opening credits, but then is moved to regular star in the opening credits by the start of season two. Was he a star of any, like, for instance, Melrose Place brought Heather Locklear on, they kept her at the end of the credits as special guest star all the way through the rest of the run of Melrose Place because she was a much bigger star than everybody else on that show. So when I saw season one credits open up with, you know, a guest star, Chris Pratt, I was like, well, was he even a star before this show?
So he was in, like, his biggest show before that. He was in a few random shows. He was his biggest show was Everwood. I don't know if you remember that show from the early 2000s.
Vaguely, but I never watched it.
So he was in all of the episodes of that, but he wasn't, I mean, but he wasn't like one of the main characters. He was like a side character in that. He had a brief run on the OC and then was in a couple of like small parts in movies. But no, this was like the show that I think especially was really the first real comedic show that he or like role that he had. Mm-hmm. And then once they saw how funny he was, you know, they had like this, you know, they hire him into that spot of the shoeshine boy, and then he's rocking and rolling all the way through. And it's so good because, you know, in all the things you see him in now that you know him for Guardians of the Galaxy, Jurassic World, mm-hmm. and all these big things he's in, he always plays kind of this like cocky and you know, he's not necessarily dumb, but he's like so cocky that he doesn't realize sometimes he's being dumb. But yeah. Andy Dwyer is just such he is the epitome of a human like giant dumb puppy dog.
Yeah, well, I hope he finds happiness.
He has a great character arc.
I worry because they kind of painted April as being like college student age, like 19, 20, yeah. right in there. So I worry, like, are they really going to try to make a romance between her and Andy? Because it just seems like the age difference is too great.
Yeah, let's just say that they are more compatible than you might think.
Well, I definitely can see their compatibility, but God, Aubrey Plaza is so young.
Yes.
I don't believe that she's really 19, but she is very young in this show.
And her character, what I love so much about her is her character does grow over time. So it's more than just the like mopey like person, you know, she grows, but still, you know, we gushed over Aubrey Plaza so much.
In Legion,
and when you see her in this versus who she was in Legion, it's just you see how different, like how much she's grown as an actress.
And for sure.
And so that's really cool too. Like you start seeing some of that as the series goes on, but it is really neat to see how much she has just become something different in her future.
Well, my newfound love for Nick Offerman is definitely making me want to watch Devs. So I know he's a completely different character on Devs, but I'm thinking I'm probably going to watch it. I know you didn't like it, but
he's no Ron Swanson.
Oh, the character, they're fully formed. This show starts off with very strong, confident writing, fully formed characters right out of the gate. So it's not a show that's trying to find itself. And that I really appreciate. And I laugh every episode, especially the murals.
We'll be talking more about this as we go on. So let's get to our final segment of the night, and that is our homework. So our homework section, which tonight is going to be pretty short because we're just giving each other homework.
But
each week we're going to give each other a homework assignment, which is one episode of a show, and it doesn't have to be the first episode. It can be any episode of any show that I guess our hope is that it's maybe something we're trying to surprise each other, maybe a show we haven't seen, and maybe it's a show that gets you so hooked in the show that you want to kind of start back and watch it.
Absolutely. It's meant to reel the other in. It's not meant to be a gotcha. Like, it's meant to really try to reel the other in. And so, likewise, we want listeners to play along, too. So if you also would like to watch these, it's just going to be two shows. not a full season, just one particular episode. And we will say where you can find it. And we would encourage you all to also watch it and tweet us or email us your thoughts on that. And we'll read those on air as well. But the idea is that we come back the following week with a report on the show that we watched, and not, and we're going to actually watch it, and we're going to not do like any kind of pre like reading ahead on the episode. Right. We're not going to read comments or anything, show synopsis and things like that ahead before watching it. Right. Try to keep the element of surprise as strong as possible.
Yep. And so next week we have to basically give a book report. You give a very brief synopsis and then you say what you liked or didn't like about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you want me to go first what I'm assigning you?
Go ahead and give me the assignment first.
Okay, Dean. I thought about this a lot. And I figure you probably already have an idea of what I'm going to be assigning, but I want to say why I'm assigning this episode in particular. So I am assigning an episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer to you. You knew I was going to do it. It's all on Hulu. You can find it on Hulu. And I know you and I have talked about Buffy. Buffy is a show that is always going to be near and dear to my heart forever and ever. It's a show I've watched a million times. I can quote it. I can recite it. I can talk about Buffy. As much as I talk about The Leftovers, I can talk about Buffy. Buffy was a show that meant so much to me. And every time I've watched it, I find new meaning in it and a new way to find something in it that I didn't discover before. So it has a very strong rewatchable index, if you will. Now, I know I've asked you about this show before and even have suggested that as your daughters get a little older, that you consider watching it with them. It's a great show, I think, for young girls to watch as they move into like preteen and teenage years. And this is really a show that girls can grow up with as well. And I believe you had told me that you had watched like maybe the first season back in the day or something like that, right? You're familiar with the show, but never really watched it.
Right.
Okay. So the episode that I'm assigning to you, Dean, is season 5, episode 16, entitled The Body. Now, this is a very famous episode of Buffy. Fans of Buffy know it well, and they are probably thinking I'm a monster for assigning this episode to you. because this is a non-traditional episode of Buffy, in that it doesn't have a monster of the week, really, and it's also very focused on a subject matter of a very sad nature. You discover that very like immediately. Within the first 5 seconds, you learn who the body is, and you know what this episode is going to be. So it's not an easy watch. It is a pivotal episode in the series. Season 5 as a whole is my favorite season of Buffy. That's very divisive among Buffy fans. They either love it or hate season 5. A lot of people don't like it. But season 5 has a really interesting, fun, big bad, and also a really cool mystery with the introduction of Buffy's sister, who wasn't present in the first 4 seasons, and how that gets explained in a very supernatural and interesting way. But The Body, episode 16, detracts from that a little bit and deals with actual death. And I would encourage you to watch this episode and have some tissues nearby. This is the one episode of TV that I know you and I talk about my soft heart and I cry over everything. This is an episode of television that no matter how many times I see it, I cry every time. I can't stop myself. I can't control myself. I'm going to try to watch it again also so that I can be prepared to talk about it with you and have it fresh on my mind. But just to be honest, I don't know that I can go through it. So that's how emotional it is to me. You may not feel that way, but I will tell you, if you're not moved even in the slightest, then you're a monster because it is a very emotional show or episode of television, but it's so well done. There are some comic relief moments as Buffy is prone to do. I don't know that it really comes in this episode in that way though. But I would say standout performances for sure from Sarah Michelle Gellar as always, who plays Buffy. But also look very closely at Allison Hannigan, who plays Willow, has a real standout performance. But the cherry on top, the best performance in this episode is by Emma Caulfield, who plays Anya. And Anya is a character that throughout the course of Buffy is given comic relief and dumb girl lines and is almost meant to be like the straight man, like the one that everybody's making fun of all the time. And so in this episode in particular, they gave Emma Caulfield such an emotional arc and such a strong, dramatic moment that really shows her strong acting ability. And that's the moment that gets me every single time. You'll know it when it happens. You'll be like, oh God, this is what got Lisa, I'm sure. And maybe it'll get you too. And finally, the last thing I'm going to say about this show is pay attention to, I believe this episode was written and directed by Joss Whedon, which okay. automatically elevates it above the top. It is often acclaimed as one of the best episodes of the entire run of the series. But pay attention to the fact of this episode in particular, there is a complete absence of music. There is no background music. There is no tone music whatsoever. And how that really affects the dramatic element of the show and the tone of the show as a whole. And I always talk about how music affects the tone of the show and how I pay close attention to the music in a show. And the absence of music really, really does make you view a show completely differently. So I believe that episode 5, or season 5, episode 16 of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, The Body, will reel you in, Dean, and will get you hooked into this show, and will also give you an emotional, very emotional a roller coaster of a ride. So there you go. There's your homework assignment.
All right. You gave me, I think now I don't have to look it up to look at any preview. You gave me a really big preview for it. So
don't hate me. Don't hate me if it's too sad. It's
fine. All right. My show is a lot lighter. Okay. Your homework assignment is a 30-minute comedy called Party Down. Party Down's a scripted comedy that only had 2 seasons. It was on Starz from 2009, 2010. And since you've been enjoying Parks so much, I thought I'd give you a show that kind of is in this, not similar vein, but just in that sense. It stars Adam Scott is the main star of it.
Good.
It also has Lizzie Kaplan, Jane Lynch, Kim Marino, and some others that you'll definitely recognize in there.
So Party Down, heard of the show.
It was, like I said, a short show on Starz in the mid-2000s, so it kind of went under the radar of a lot of people. It is it's called Party Down is the name of the company that is a catering company in LA that these people work for, and they're all kind of like either aspiring or failed actors who work for a catering company in Hollywood. Okay. And so it's just, and so some of them are actors, some of them are writers, but it's just the comedy of these kind of like losers who are doing these big parties. And some of them are always trying to, you know, push scripts or try to perform in front of famous people. And it's just kind of, like I said, it's the exploits of them. And it's filmed in a single cam style, almost think of even how, and it's not, it's pretty scripted. I'm sure there are points that are ad-libbed, but it doesn't seem terribly ad-libbed. I'm sure there's lots of improvising in it. So it's not quite a Curb type, but it's in that style.
Okay. I'm sure to love it. What episode? So
I'm giving you, I was going to give you a season. There's, like I said, there's 2 seasons. Both seasons are 10 episodes. I was going to give you an episode in season 2. Only because Megan Mullally is in season 2. She replaces Jane Lynch in that. But I kind of wanted to give you an early episode just because I think once you see it, you'll like it and you'll get into it.
Okay.
So I'm giving you the second episode of the series. It's season 1, episode 2. It's called California College Conservative Union Caucus. And so the Party Down crew is basically giving a college Republicans like banquet where they're supposed to be giving getting a speech by Arnold Schwarzenegger, the governor at the time. And it guest stars Josh Gad, who is the like the president or whatever of this little college conservative group. And he's very good in it, especially if you liked his role in Avenue 5. It's kind of like that, but without the – he's not an idiot. But it's that – you can definitely see that role in him. It's that he's the leader of it, and he's – he thinks he's a lot smarter than he is type of thing, but he's a lot more, he has that arrogance of his Avenue 5 character, but he's got a little bit more brains to him.
Oh, okay.
So, like I said,
you know, I might, with that in mind, because it sounds like a show that I'm going to love, I might actually step it up a little bit and watch episode 1 and 2. How about that?
I would go ahead for it. You, like I said, they're 30 minutes, and as soon as you watch one, you know, it'll roll right in the next one. Most of the episodes, not all of them, but over half the episodes of the entire series are all directed by Fred Savage.
Oh, wow.
So he's of got the a Wonder Years? Touch to it. Yeah, that Fred Savage.
Whoa, was the treatment he was working on Seinfeld?
Maybe. But it's a really good show. Paul Rudd helped write and create it, too. He has some touch in that. I think he only really wrote the very first episode of it. So I think he kind of gets the created by credits. But it's Paul Rudd, Rob Thomas, who was one of the creators of Veronica Mars and did some other shows as well, too. But it's a really good show. I've watched the series. Like I said, it's 20 episodes, 30 minutes each. So you're talking about 10 hours of TV. I've watched these probably 10 times each because they just crack me up. And I think you'll enjoy them. It'll be right in the vein of a Parks and style show like that.
Excellent. Well, I'll be laughing and you will be crying in this week's homework assignment. And dear listeners, please watch them also. Take our recommendations, give them a watch. Let us know what you thought. Hit us up on email and Twitter. I guess we probably should start some other social media lines, but we never have. So, you know, Dean and I work full-time jobs too. So cut us some slack. If you don't enjoy Twitter, just take a little bit of time and send us an email. We promise we'll read it. We promise we'll respond. We have an email from Roby.
Real quick, Party Down is, I said it was on Stars, and if you have Stars, it's on there, but you can find it on Hulu. It's on Hulu.
Okay, great. Party Down. I'm probably going to watch it tomorrow, or it's getting kind of late, we're recording, but maybe I might watch it tonight. We did get an email from Roby, our number one fan, at Remotes1 on Twitter. Thank you, Roby, for consistently writing and helping us commemorate our 50th episode. He did make mention that he is watching What We Do in the Shadows. He's watching Killing Eve. He made mention of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like we talked about earlier. Says he's been a fan since the beginning. The characters have developed nicely. He's looking forward to the final season. And he recommends that if you started and gave up in season one, you owe it to yourself to go back and rewatch. I wholeheartedly agree. I know it's a network show, but I promise you, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is really, really good. And then he also says that he thinks HBO Max programming looks pretty good and is well worth the cost. So we'll see, Roby. I believe we'll be talking about HBO Max for many weeks to come. So we'll be following that story closely. And then finally, this is fun. He said he just finished a complete walkthrough of Dharma and Greg, which, of course, was a sitcom in the 90s starring Jenna Elfman. I never watched it. Did you ever watch Dharma and Greg?
Yeah, on and off, but never regularly. Like, I think I watched the reruns when they were on TBS or something.
So that would be one. But, you know, hey, Roby, if you've seen Parks and Rec, or if you haven't, dive in and start watching Parks and Rec. I should say they're all on Netflix. They're on lots. I think I know they're streaming on the Peacock Network, which incidentally I'm also getting for free with Comcast Xfinity Cable. And so I started watching them on Peacock because I was like, oh, I'm getting it for free. Might as well take advantage of you. But there's dang commercials. And then I was like, why am I wasting my time on these with watching it with commercials when I can just watch it on Netflix? So Parks and Rec is on Netflix, commercial free. Roby, join in the discussion and send us some thoughts on for Parks and Recommended for next week, if you would, if you're interested in that show also. And then hopefully you'll do the homework assignments along with us too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Dean, anything else that we should say before we wrap up here?
No, I'm look forward to our new format. I know we were a little bit longer tonight, but we had a lot to talk about. We haven't been here for a couple of weeks, so we'll cut down on some news and other things next week. So we're going to, like I said, we're going to try to stick it to about an hour and 15, but we are hoping you guys stick with us, and hopefully some of y'all are catching up with us. Remember, if you are interested in other shows like Watchmen, Legion, Preacher, any of those, especially the final seasons of those.
Better Call Saul.
Yeah, Better Call Saul. Catch some of our old episodes, our deep dive recaps into those. But for now, just talk some TV with us.
Yeah, yeah, we'd love to hear from you. And Dean, as always, I've enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to my homework assignment, and I'm looking forward to talking about The Leftovers next week in our deep dive in the shallow end.
Absolutely.
And of course, more Parks and Rec in our Parks and Recommended. So everybody, thanks again for listening. And until next time, I'm Lisa.
And I am Dean.
And please remember to keep it thorough.